Before I begin my homily, just something, a little bit of humorous note. It's true that I shaved my beard. And so if you want to know why, then my beard will not be taking questions after Mass. Okay. And you can send in a $50 donation to the parish with a note. Make sure to put the note in it, because some people didn't do this last time, asking why, and I'll write you a note saying why I shaved my beard. And the third graders, I went into the class one day to teach, and there was a ladybug in it, and I didn't see it, and they were very excited. And then it flew into the lights. And then when I came in, I had shaved my beard, and they said, and I named the ladybug Kevin. I said, he lives in my beard. And they said, I shaved my beard. They said, where's Kevin going to live now? I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyways. I have a cold, so my voice is a little sore, but we'll be all right. Our gospel for today, John the Baptist tells the people of Judea to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as I was talking just before this with many of the families who are here from our faith formation program about the idea of Advent is a season of penance, also of expectation, and there's a sense of joyful expectation, but also season of penance, hence the color purple or violet. This is the color of penance in the church. We wear it during Lent and during Advent. And we have the primary or one of the primary ways of entering into that season of penance, and that mindset of penance is in the sacrament of confession. And so I thought I would just do a little bit of a discussion on the sacrament of confession. Many of you, this might be old news for you, and so I'm sure you won't be upset. But for those of you who haven't frequented it in the last year, the church asks us to come once a year for confession. It's one of the hallmarks of a practicing Catholic. It's how we keep up our credentials, if you will. And so I thought I'd just share a little bit, what is this and why? And the first to talk about for a moment, this idea of a sacrament. A sacrament. If I were to ask maybe folks who are, I don't know, 50 and up, 55 and up, maybe 60 and up, give me a definition of the word sacrament, you probably would be able to give me one. Maybe not all of you, many of you. And if I were to ask folks, maybe 55, 50 and younger, somewhere around there and younger, give me a definition of the word sacrament, most of you wouldn't be able to do it. And I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I want to, but I'm not going to. So most of you wouldn't be able to do it. And it's probably not your fault. No one taught you, or if they did, it not in a clear way. So the definition of the word sacrament, because it informs why we go. The meanings of things are very helpful. So a definition. A sacrament is an outward sign, so something you can touch or smell, not today, but normally, taste, hear, see. It involves your senses. It's an outward sign of an inward spiritual truth. We'd say an inward grace. So it's something of God's actual life that we receive, that's hidden, we can't see, that was given to us by Jesus himself during his ministry for our eternal salvation. And maybe to say it more succinctly, an outward sign of an inward grace given by Jesus for our salvation. And why is that important to then to understand the confession and why we would want to go? Well, to put it in another way, by another sort of analogy, to think of the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist. Now, most of you are not going to say this today. I don't want to go to communion because I don't need to go to communion to love God. I can love God in my pew. You made the time to come to church, but most of you aren't going to say, but I just love God in my pew. I don't want to actually, go up for communion. I just love God in my pew. Most of you are not going to say that. You say, no, we get that outward sign in the Eucharist. We see it very clearly, and we desire that. Just like in every aspect of love, we need an outward manifestation or love doesn't exist. And so you think of your friendships, your marriages, your relationships. You might say, I love my best friend. But if you lie to them constantly and you mock them constantly and all you have to say is bitter, sarcastic things, you don't actually love them. You want to love them. That's different. But you don't, it might be your best friend, but you don't love them. Because love needs to have an external manifestation, or else it doesn't exist. And we get that in the Eucharist. You know, it wouldn't make sense if we say, well, just think about communion. We do something called a spiritual communion, but if you have the opportunity, everyone wants to receive communion. That physical, touchable, tasteable thing, we get it. We want that. The opposite is true in confession. People say the opposite often. They'll say, I can just talk to God in my heart, and I don't need to hear it from the priest. And that logic, we don't have that same logic for communion, but we carry that into confession. And I would be willing to argue, aside from busyness, which is a very real thing, and not having time, and maybe, you know, you can't get out of your house because you're homebound. Those are very real things. The reasons why we don't come to communion or confession are twofold. One is pride. That's the main one. We don't want to speak out loud our sins. And the other is maybe fear, which is a form of pride in that God wouldn't forgive us, as though somehow our sins are too big for him. Both of these are facets of pride. And that's aside from, you know, we're homebound and things like that. So what about this definition of a sacrament in terms of repentance? John the Baptist says, repent, believe in the gospel, make way for the Lord. What about the word sacrament and then confession? What is the sacramental aspect? So in communion, we have the bread and the wine that carries with it the real presence of Jesus. It's not just a symbol. It's really there. In confession, the words of the priest. And the priest is in the confessional. We say, in persona Christi, not as my opinions or not my own views. And I don't even have to like you. You don't have to like me. You don't have to come to me. You can go to someplace else where you don't even know the priest, and it can be, you don't have to, you know, give away who you are. But the words of the priest are not just the priest saying, God probably forgives you. You know, if you confess your sins, God probably forgives you, and I wouldn't worry about it. When you hear the words, if you come to confession, you offer your sins, you don't withhold anything, because if you withhold something, you're not forgiven. But if you offer your sins for forgiveness out of humility, Lord, I've offended you, not just for self-help, but Lord, I've offended you, and you hear the words, I absolve you. That's the sacramental sign, is your words of confession, and then hearing those words, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And those words actually carry God's real forgiveness. It's a sacrament, so it's an outward sign of an inward true grace. You receive a facet of God's life within you that you don't receive elsewhere. And it's true and it's real. And you don't have to be good enough to receive forgiveness. In fact, you only receive forgiveness if you're not good enough. You know, people say, I don't know if I'm good enough for God. You're not. That's mercy. Mercy means you're not good enough. If you were good enough for God, you wouldn't need mercy. Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. So we hear in that sacramental presence, I absolve you, and we truly receive forgiveness of our sins. And another thing that's very important to remember, it flows from all of this, is the seal of the confessional. And it's not a furry animal that lives in the confessional and swims around in there. It's a seal. That was a joke. Okay. So the seal of the confessional means that what you say in there stays in there, such that the priest does not reveal what you've done in such a way that anyone would know that it was you who did any of these things. And why is that inviolable and without exception? No exception to the rule. The archbishop told us, all the young priests, he said, you should rather go to your death then reveal someone's sins to someone else. And why is that the case? Because let me ask you this question. When you speak to God in your heart of hearts, you know, from fear, a joy, a sorrow, and you say, Lord, you know, I feel this way about my spouse. Does God tell your spouse, you know, Karen, your husband feels this way about you. I just want to let you know. No. God doesn't reveal what's in your heart to other people. It's inviolable. It's a sacred space. And when the priest is in persona Christi, he's not there representing himself or even you guys necessarily. He's there representing God, and so it's inviolable in that way. And if we were to violate that, we were to say that God also will reveal what you share with everyone else. And so the seal of the confessional is not accidental. It's central to our understanding of confession. And some people, it's hard to struggle with that. You know, what if someone says they're going to do some terrible thing? And say, well, if God doesn't tell people, then the priest is not going to tell people. And that's challenging, but God is present in the confessional, in the person of the priest. Now, why do I offer all this? Well, John the Baptist, this is very clear that we make way for the Lord first by purifying our hearts, and then by the fruit that we live in our lives. But first and foremost, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire from Jesus, John the Baptist says in our gospel. And fire is not a suggestion. Fire consumes, and the Holy Spirit fills with the life of God. And so in the confessional is one of the prime places where we are filled with the actual presence of Christ, and our lives are actually consumed in the fiery love of the Lord. And so this Advent, I encourage, if it's been a while for many of you, perhaps, to come back to that sacrament. It doesn't have to be here. It can be at Holy Angels. It can be at Holy Hill. It can be at Holy Trinity, wherever you want to go. Don't have to say who you are. It's not about that. It's about purifying yourself so that when that infant child comes on Christmas Day, we can, you know, imagine going to a delivery room. If you have a baby, there's babies here. Imagine you go in the delivery room, you have mud all over your hands, you have dirt, you know, oil and whatever, you're fixing a car. No, you wash your hands. You purify them to hold this child. Well, similarly with our souls, we wash them, we purify them so we might behold that infant child with fresh, clean hands of our soul on that Christmas day.